All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me 100.
Welcome to another episode of Pop the Man Podcast. I'm your host, Jay. With me today, I have my always loyal co-host, Cord. What's up, Cord?
How you been? How you been? I keep that 40 on me like on Zubac for the 100 episode.
We got the homie DeLon with us today. What's up, DeLon?
Assalamu alaikum, brother Jordan.
We got the boy Jaquez. What's up, Jaquez?
What it do? What it do?
And we have your favorite Suns fan. We got Cam. What's up, Cam?
Hey, y'all already know what it is. Suns Nation, and it's my birthday, and it's the 100 episode. So we
in the game. Niggas, Cam.
It's a celebration all the way around.
Was meant to be here.
That nigga, I'm drinking tonight. He said something.
You know, we ain't gonna set you up for that, Cam. I'm gonna
send you a bottle of Everclear Chief. I got you.
Nah, don't.
Whoa, we ain't trying to kill him, Cord.
No, don't do that.
Too soon. Everclear ain't hot in these streets no more.
Everclear never been hot in these streets, Cord.
Yeah, nah, Everclear been hot in these streets.
Straight. I'm talking about straight Everclear. That's all, Cord.
Hey, man. Cool. Straight Everclear going to and your cuts and bruises. Put the Everclear on there, you're good to go. Huge facts.
Disinfectant.
But as Cam said, this and as Cord said, this is the 100th episode of the Pop of the Man podcast. I want to give a big shout out to all my co-hosts who have made this possible. It's been a long journey. We started this, I think, 2 years ago, 2018, and we produced almost an episode every single week for 2 years. So round of applause to my homies. I appreciate y'all for the most part. And then on top of that, I appreciate you fans who have been loyal and been tuning into the podcast every single week. Reason why it's so much fun to do this is getting feedback from y'all. Y'all tell us what y'all love. Y'all giving us ideas for the next episode. Because, like I said, this is fun, but it's even more fun doing it with y'all.
Involved. You know they say a lot of stupid shit.
Now, I don't think that'd be our fans. I don't think that'd be our fans. I think those are people that follow the Twitter page, which is not exactly that automatically fans.
That's how you coming for the 100th episode,
DeLon? Man, 100.
I
love seeing
honesty. I got PTSD from this past week with that tweet, the MJ tweet. You got PTSD.
Nah, man, it's all good.
Hey, man, they were tuning you up, and no comments.
I ain't never told you so quick.
DeLon said he just being a little bit more aggressive, like they told him on Twitter. That's all. But anyway, you know what we do. You give our takes on basketball, music, and everything in between. If you're listening to this on podcast services, know that you can look this up on YouTube at Pop of the Man Podcast, and you can watch this episode. If you are watching this episode on YouTube, then know you can go to any streaming platform, and you can stream us at Pop of the Man Podcast. Give us a comment. Tell us what you might want to talk about in the future. Like the video, most importantly, and just sit back and enjoy the show. So, our first topic of the afternoon is a music topic, and we are talking about Swiss Beatz. Swiss Beatz recently got on live. I think it was on IG. I don't know what it was that DeLon sent me. But he got on, and he was having a conversation with another hip-hop affiliate, and he was saying that he feels like people within hip-hop, the younger new artists, should pay their dues and that they should pay a tax and raise money for the OGs in hip-hop so that we can preserve our culture and we can pay respects to those that came before them. Do you guys believe that hip hop should impose a tax on the younger generation to help preserve the art?
Fuck them old niggas.
The fuck, yo!
Girl, this is
it? Yo!
What the fuck? That was dumb shit. Hell no.
When you say impose a tax, I was like,
are you serious? I was with him until he said that shit. I was like, what the fuck is this going? I was like, hell no, that nigga bugging.
Like Britain in the 1700s.
I mean, you know, I don't typically speak on the music topics a lot. But my input on this is like, music isn't like sports. Music is like an art form. So like, you can't, like I feel like in basketball, you have to like respect the older player that play. You got a lot from their game and stuff like that. So, you know, I feel that, but like, whereas music is art, it's literally like, it's completely objective. So if you don't like what they did, or if you don't, you know, if you don't appreciate what the people before you did, whether they influenced you or not, I mean, what do you have to pay to them?
So first of all, let me start by saying Swiss Beatz is a bugger. But there is like imagine in the late 80s, Public Enemy going through and Two Live Crew going through the whole thing with the government about censorship and parental advisory. And all stuff they went through, getting the albums thrown away and getting boycotted and all that shit. They went through all that stuff. So Lil Uzi can now say, yeah. That bitch got shit. So there is like a kind of a, there's a connection there where it's not necessarily influenced on music, but you know. Do I think that the artist should be paying that? No, I think that is a responsibility of labels, the music industry, people that aren't the artists. Because young black artists are already getting fucked enough by old white men, they don't need to be in
huge facts
screwed over by older black dudes.
And
older
honestly, black men. And honestly, that's that the tax that Swizz Beatz is imposing is what people like him should be doing. People, well-established artists who have full control of their music. I've always said like people like Diddy, people like Jay-Z, people like that who have full control of their music, they should be going out their ways to help to put money into foundations or putting money into avenues that helps preserve the essence of hip hop and help progress what hip hop is today and make it even a bigger platform. Because like I said, I agree with you, DeLon, that this is an art form that needs to be cultivated and needs to be revered. But that's not on the younger artists who are just enter in. You can't tax people who are trying to enter the you can't just tax the people who are trying to enter the culture and they have barely had anything to stand on themselves. Cause then they give up the little money they do have, and then what do they have after that? They have nothing. And then those younger artists probably die out, or maybe they're discouraged from even joining or even entering the culture. Like who
that's gonna discourage more people from being rappers, because you know, we already, like we talked a few episodes ago, how young guys don't even want to be rappers, they want to be rock stars, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it'll just stop more guys from wanting to do that, so it'll be even worse for the culture. Yeah, honestly. Yeah,
like, but think about Charlamagne doing an interview with somebody and being like, "Hey, you paid your dues yet? Dues, nigga, I'm a rock star, I ain't no rapper." Like, that's what I would
exactly
do. That's what I would do. I'd get on my album, I would rap, and then they'd be like, this way.
Bruh, for hip hop to be the genre that was created to break all conventional rules, we come with a whole lot of rules lately. I'm just gonna say that. But Jordan, I absolutely agree with you. If anybody should tax, it should be the 1% of hip hop. If Swizz Beatz, Diddy, Jay-Z, Kanye, Dr. Dre, and all the rest of them, if they really want to help the older artists, get them a stake in your company. Get them a stake in your record label. Get them a stake on your album sales. Do something like that. Ain't no point again like if they pull up on Lil Tecca like, "Hey, we need 50 bands, you got to get this to Africa Bambaataa," like, why should he have to do that? And also, who do, like, and also another thing is, if we paying it to the legends, what do you have to do to be considered as a legend?
I mean, a legend. Talk to these niggas,
you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think A&B and Rakim is a legend, but I don't know if they directly influence somebody like a Lil Uzi. I think I would, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think they would go to somebody like a Wayne. So then it goes to, are we paying all the legendary rappers? Or are we paying just the ones that influence the people? I think Swizz Beatz came up with a good idea, but you can't come out with a topic like that and not have a bunch of stuff to back it up. You need details, because when you just say, "Oh, we should pay taxes," to who? And also, man, we live in America. We pay enough taxes. Like, come on now. Thanks. And also,
say this.
Instead of saying pay taxes, stream their records. Help them get their deal back. Help them get
like promoting, like say, "Oh yeah, promote older rappers." Like that's something, you know what I'm saying, that's free, that anybody can do. Now I can understand that, but saying you gotta pay a tax, like what?
And also, these grown men, if they really trying to get their bread, Eric B and Rakim and the rest, I mean, no offense, because I love these people, Mary don't kill me. Hop on IG, do a beat battle. I would love to see Pete Rock or somebody like that do a beat battle. Like, it's also it's 2020, bro. If you can make a rap career off of memes, all you got to do is go out and promote yourself. All you got to do is go out and show people that you still here. You still got a collection of music that we wanted to hear. If you're not getting money, it's on you. It's too many opportunities for you to not be getting money out here.
I don't know about that one, Corey. I don't know if we want to see old niggas on IG Live just casually promoting
music.
That's what
we call it. That's what we call Riley on IG
we
Live.
We watched him on Versus. We watched him on Versus doing an event that happened because of quarantine. Yeah. Now, if niggas is out here on IG Live promoting their music, we would call them corny. That's what we got to do.
It depends on how they do it. But it's hard not to be corny. It's old niggas.
But he said niggas out here doing memes and blah, blah. I don't want to see 60-year-old men doing memes.
No. No, okay, not memes. What I'm saying is, it's still a market for them. All they fans not dead. And all them fans are not dead. You still got a market. Even if it's not in America, I know it's a market in Europe for old school hip-hop artists.
I'll say two things. One, I feel like some of the younger generation could do, but this is also a huge responsibility on the older, the OGs, is the OGs could collaborate more with the younger generation, get on their records, and then you end up bringing more revenue back to your streams, and then
I'm looking at your fans
to their streams.
If we rewind the clock back, if they had spent all of 2014 trying to help those artists instead of demonizing them every 2 seconds, they wouldn't be in their position.
I'll say this, like I'll say, for example, with Nas, like I never really listened to a lot of Nas until I heard him on that J. Cole track.
Exactly.
And him and J. Cole did the little back and forth, but then that made me go and stream Illmatic, and I was like, oh shit, this shit fire, and I went and listened to a lot more of this shit.
Gotta put some stuff out there.
Exactly. So that'd be a great thing, and that's just something I know from personal experience.
Swiss Beast is just letting his 1% side show. He just showing the elitism in him to be sitting there and thinking to himself, in a genre where most people who enter the genre are trying to look for a come up, who usually don't really come from much, because that's usually like what hip hop was, a bunch of hungry, starving artists trying to break their way and make money to escape their circumstances. To be in a genre where that's usually the beginnings of almost every rapper story and sit here and say, we want to tax these niggas as they enter to give money into people who are well established. That is elitism to the 100%. And Swiss Beast should be ashamed of himself in that regard.
I will say this, not in regard to older rappers. I mean, we're actually with older rappers. I do feel like, you know, we've been talking about like a lot of street codes and hip-hop for the past 2 weeks. I do think it should be a fun for rappers who go to jail. Like, if a rapper go to jail, every other rapper who are also street artists, man, go give a stack or two to their mama. Shout out to Lil Boosie. You know, like, I saw Lil Boosie talk about that yesterday, and it kind of gave me the idea, like, damn, if a Kodak Black go to jail, does anybody take care of his family while he gone?
But the niggas you hang around with supposed to be the ones who doing that. Like, yeah, if I'm hanging with you,
I ain't gonna hold you.
Been every rapper talking about doing this that the union does, doing this that the union does, doing this that the union does. Everybody throwing out the idea of making a union, and nobody making a union.
They never do it.
Exactly what union's supposed to do. If you go to jail, a union provides for your family. If you come in, you do pay small dues from the record labels. They do that, and they pay the old niggas. That's exactly what a union is supposed to do. Everybody's throwing out all this shit around it, except making the actual union.
Everybody been talking about Bobby Shmurda for what, 5 years? Been some like 5-6 years. I ain't heard nobody say, hey, we should all come together and put some money on Bobby Shmurda books. Hey, is Bobby Shmurda mama doing okay? Like, we don't hear none of that. Everybody loves saying we support these rappers. Then when we really need to help them, the other rappers don't say nothing. They just disappear.
And that's the thing about it. Like, I've been saying that we need like a hip hop union, especially like lawyer fees and like helping rappers when it comes to like legal issues. There should be a firm that also helps rappers when they renegotiate their contracts. And like I said, that's on the more established elite artists in the genre, like a Jay-Z, a P. Diddy, Master P, guys like that, to step forward and make those safe havens. But like I said, but making a union does really benefit them in turn financially. So there's probably no incentive for them to invest those resources in that.
Don't forget, in 2016, Jay-Z tried to make it seem like Tidal was a union. He said,
"I remember that."
By the artist, we got Madonna. I'm like, oh, that's not really who I thought was gonna.
Yeah, because Madonna needs every dime.
We all right, Jay-Z.
Y'all Madonna and Daft Punk at the table. Like, what does that have to do with you, my artist? I ain't never seen Daft Punk working on a rapper other than Kanye, and he sampled them.
But shout out to Swiss Beats for being a phenomenal producer. But we ain't rocking what you're talking about, Chief. But speaking of leadership, okay, go ahead, Cam.
I was about to say, Core. I heard you bring up Boosie. We talking about Boosie today?
Listen, Cam just woke up trying to bring up topic.
That's a tough topic, man.
Niggas ain't Thursday.
Hey man, it's the 100 episode. I might have to spice it up.
Hey, hot take Cord in the building.
Stew on the core. We might come back to it. But I want to talk to you guys about leadership, which was a hot topic on DeLon's TL this week. So Jalon got on Twitter and talked about how that MJ's style of leadership, which he demonstrated on The Last Dance, where he was punching people in the face, he was verbally abusing them in practice.
Withholding dinner?
Withholding dinner and letting niggas starve if they didn't perform in the way.
What I heard is my nigga Horace wasn't going for it. That's what I heard.
He told Horace Grant, hey, you get them boards, you ain't getting that meal.
Oh, no. Man, what? I'm gonna keep real with you. I would be MJ. Hey, that's different.
Hey, don't say that.
Hey, go ahead. Wait, man, finish your talk, Jordan.
So to put it lightly, basically, MJ said, no, DeLon said that MJ was wrong. Well, he didn't say it was wrong. He said that leadership style worked for MJ, but I just want everybody on Twitter to know that that's not the only effective form of leadership, which led to people saying DeLon has never won anything in his life. There's people saying that, how many, asking DeLon, show me your rings. And the thing I thought to myself in my head was, these niggas are acting like they NBA champions themselves. So apparently, even though they agree with MJ, that shit ain't got them anywhere in life either.
But man, Jordan, niggas was tweeting at me from a twin bed. Niggas was tweeting at me while paying their car note.
Niggas swinging you in with dirty feet, DeLon.
Dirty feet.
Niggas disrespecting me in my midst with holes in their socks. Come on now.
Niggas 8 a.m. in the morning. Niggas ain't even brushed their teeth yet. Talk man. Shit, man. Come on now.
Pull up your resume, DeLon. Pull up the resume.
Come on now.
Talk to him.
We're going to talk about it later. So, my question for y'all is this. Was MJ's leadership the only form of leadership that he could display to lead the Bulls to six? And is that the most effective style of leadership? Because even then, like, people look at how Kobe treated his teammates, and at least as far as we know, it wasn't as venomous as Jordan's way of going about it. But a lot of people praise Kobe for mimicking his style of leadership. Do you guys feel like that's the recipe for being a dominant forces like Kobe and Jordan, or do you feel like you could be just as dominant without that?
No.
Look, I'm gonna keep it a bean with you, Jordan.
You should that be shit, on your teammates,
Yeah, you should be on, but I mean, it worked though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't deny his results. Like, that's a lot of winning, brother. Went to three-peat twice, Cord. Yeah. Like, nobody else has done that. No, and then the only niggas who have had that amount of success and that were quote unquote dicks were Kobe and MJ. The other niggas who are, you know what I'm saying? The Magic three-peat?
No. No, he didn't three-peat.
Yeah, like Magic, LeBron, the nicer guys, the help your teammate up type teammates. I mean, those players
did. Pistons almost did it, but they were toxic. Yeah, the Pistons.
Yeah, no, they didn't treat people. I'm saying that for basketball purposes, it looks, that might be what, you know, for if you that style of player, that's what will work for them. But I wouldn't say that's definitely not the most effective form of leadership. Hell no. Nah,
but then you got guys like Tim Duncan, who was, you know, he was a lead first guy. Like, a lot of Spurs talked about how Duncan was never like type to like bark orders. He was just a guy who came in and
did. But Pop was that person on that team. Pop was the on your ass type of person on that team. So you need a person like that. Because Phil Jackson, if you think about it, Phil Jackson was the Tim Duncan of the Bulls, because he was the laid back guy. He was the get to know you on a personal level guy rather than MJ. MJ didn't give a fuck what you did outside of the court. But when you got on the court, you was gonna do, you know, saying you was gonna perform, and you was gonna perform at a high level, because whatever, like he said, if he putting in the work, that's just like on the team project, any project, even if like a school project, if somebody else ain't pulling their weight, hey, you gonna be mad as hell at that person for not pulling their weight, because you putting your all to this project.
So
you feel me?
Yeah. So sustaining the kind of level of success that we saw from a Tim Duncan, from the Tim Duncan Spurs, the Kobe Bryant Lakers, and from the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls, it may require that kind of leadership. But I will say this though, having that kind of leadership does not equal to six rings
winning. No. It's that it's a lot comes into that to being successful.
Chris Paul, my boy.
I was about to bring him up.
But we know Chris Paul has that same kind of mentality. I don't think Chris Paul is as venomous as like Kobe or Jordan, but he rubs players in the exact same way. He comes off as a guy who hates losing more than he loves winning. And a lot of people compare his mentality close to Kobe. It just that, you know, it never manifested into championships. You can look at kind of like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is probably a lot like Jordan in that sense, but it's not really resulted in him getting even to the conference finals in his respective conferences. Danny, you can look at like DeMarcus Cousins, who was angry every single day because he kept losing, and him just being angry every day on the court did not result in that nigga winning more games. He was still good, but it didn't result in his team winning more games.
I wouldn't say Jordan was necessarily like an angry ass person though. Like if you watch the clips, he was a cool ass dude. Like niggas fucked with him outside. Like you know what I'm saying? If you was doing what you was doing, he was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like he had all them clips of him like joking around and playing with niggas and niggas laughing and joking and stuff. It's just
when it came down to that, he was
on you hard. You know what I'm saying?
But be honest with you, I think people only rock with him to the extent because he cool and all, but I think they only rock with him because they were winning. If they did not win,
winning does cure all. That is also a fact. Winning cures everything, no matter what you got going on. Winning is gonna cure everything.
Because like I said, people would probably tolerate Chris Paul a lot more if they won. But that's what I said. Like that's what makes like the flaw in that leadership style, like compared to the others. It just he won. That's why the leadership style worked more so.
My whole thing with all of this is how much of Jordan's actual ability on the court contributed to them being that great. Because I mean, you can be any kind of personality you want. Jordan was a beast on the court. He could drop 50 on it. So if he didn't want to lead like that, I mean, the other niggas not slouches on the team. A lot of them were fairly decent players. So if they had the mentality and if they had the talent on the team probably would have won championships without him acting like a
they wouldn't have reached that summer when they got their first championship after the Pistons that whooped their ass. Scotty got the headache and they just tired in the ass. Whoop. What Jordan said, fuck what y'all summer plans was, we finna get in the weight room and we finna work out and y'all going and I'm gonna show y'all, I'm gonna talk that shit, but I'm gonna also be about that shit, because he's like he said documentary, I never asked anybody to do something I wasn't doing. I ain't asked nobody to stay in the gym to midnight if I wasn't staying in the gym to midnight. You feel me? So that's also another reason why everything he did, he had other motherfuckers doing it right there with him.
And so when you look and like you said, Cam, like could they have been as great without it? I'm gonna say no. Because like you said, if those guys are talented, they're going to do what they're supposed to do. But sometimes people aren't as driven as the next person next to them. Sometimes you need that leader. Yeah, sometimes you need that leader next to you to push you as hard as they can. He probably overdid it at times, probably half the time maybe. But the end result cannot be denied that those players on his team felt like I got to win for Jordan. Like, I got to – like. I can't afford to mess up because I'm doing it, you know, for the sake of the team. Opposed to if they, you know, he wasn't that hard on them, they might not have felt as pressured to perform at the level that they end up doing. What's most important with the role players.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. It's so hard to win that much that consistently, bro.
Yeah,
three in a row.
And then another three in a row.
That's basically six in a row, basically. You know what I'm saying? That's hard.
It's impossible. Damn near impossible. Hey, man.
Look, you see how talented the Warriors was last year, and you see how they weren't even able to three-peat. The past, 5 years, the Warriors were a lot more talented than the rest of the league, but they weren't even able to three-peat. That's how you know how hard it is to pull off something like that.
We can't act like injuries.
Because shit happens, though. But you got to be able to.
I mean, they also won because of injuries, too, you know.
Exactly, and it takes a lot of things to win a championship, and luck is one of those things, but also grit and determination is another, and hard work is another. So
I'm gonna say this though: I don't think Jordan personality got them six rings. Jordan got them six rings because he's one of the most talented players of all time.
There's a lot of NBA players. What about them 2 years before? What about the year before Phil got there when he was defensive player of the year, Jordan, MVP, Jordan, scoring champion, Jordan, all in the same year with the same niggas? And still weren't able to get it done. You feel me?
But this is my whole
thing. What I'm saying is, I don't think they get no rings without Phil Jackson. That's just me, though. Phil Jackson is the key piece. And also, we got to look at this. It's a lot of NBA players with the same personality as Jordan. But if you don't have that talent, it's going to be almost impossible for you to win.
I don't know, Jordan. I don't know, Quinn. Like, after watching the documentary, seeing the passion, bro, I ain't never seen another NBA player have that much passion about the game.
Jordan had the same passion. He still got smacked by a lot of teams.
Hey, Cameron, trying to say something for a hot minute.
Y'all good. I was just gonna say the point. I forgot what I was gonna say now.
Don't you hate when that happens? It's so easy that to happen on the podcast. I swear it is. It's all good, Cap.
You said something about it was right when Jacquez said that he didn't win
before Phil got there. No, the point I was going to make was we can't just act like he didn't just start acting like an asshole when they started winning. He had been one.
He was always that way.
We can't act like, well, Jordan snaps asshole mode and now he won six straight or he won three straight. Like, I don't know.
From what I'm understanding, he didn't get like that until the latter part of his career. Because in the beginning of career, it was just shit. I'm gonna do the best that I can do to lead by example. From what I'm getting from the
documentary. Me and Charles Oakley choking out Scottie Pippen. You know, it's rookie season, but you know
that's Charles Oakley doing that shit. Jordan wasn't doing that shit.
He talked shit to Jerry Cross, but I don't really remember like instances of like getting into it with teammates and things like that. Probably like around a third chip is when like he started becoming like real hard on teammates, especially the latter. The second run, it's like to be like when Jordan turned up the intensity on his teammates. He seemed like he was a lot less patient with them.
Yeah, because up to that point, because Phil made that nigga, because he felt like, I'm so great, I can do this shit on my own. Whether these niggas want to do it or not, I'm so great, I can wheel us there. And then he realized, okay, well, maybe I do need these niggas. And if I want to sustain this, I need these niggas to get to where I'm at so I don't even have to worry about what they got going on. And that's when they became a dynasty.
Sorry, I'm going to ask y'all this. So last episode, I said, I don't know what we're going to do for the 100th episode. And Cam said, we should make a list. I said, a list. He said, yeah, a list. Uh-oh. I said, we should rank the co-hosts on the podcast. I don't know what we're going to rank them by or what by metric. But after DeLon spat on the TL, I thought to myself, I want to know what y'all greatest, quote unquote, achievements have been in terms of excellence.
Ooh,
well, in terms of not greatest. I'm not gonna say greatest. Tell me about a time, or tell me about a way that you dominated something in your life. I'll start first. I was in the band for 3 years. I was first chair in the band for 3 years. For 3 years, nigga tried to take my spot. I stayed first chair saxophone in the band. Jacquez was in my section. The saxophone was one of the best sections in the band. We probably could have been better if I slapped niggas. I ain't thinking about that.
The niggas told in, we used to slack, boy. We was chilling like a motherfucker. Me and Austin, we weren't doing shit.
That junior year, Jacquez class got into the band. I said, man, I can't. I think I'm about to quit. These young niggas on discipline. They don't care about what we're trying to build here. But we, you know, our band still showed out my junior year, but then I quit after third year. I was tired of it. I wouldn't even band my senior year. But for 3 years, I was that nigga.
That nigga for the Jordan? Jordan for the Jordan?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
first year, 3 years and left.
Let me see. Wait, we got like this little. I don't even remember what grade I was in. But we had like this little leader, like it was things like all the boys in the school. Like it was like this little leadership competition we used to have to do, and we used to have to make speeches and just talk about life. And I won the whole competition. Now, everybody was writing their speeches, and I ain't really care. So I just went and came up with a whole speech off the top of my head, just bullshit, and I won first place.
Can I imagine a young version of Cord talking shit like he do now? Spitballing in front of a bunch of elementary school kids.
I'm talking about like who was on the stage, like everybody they had like their little paper up there just talking, blah 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 blah. And I remember I was at home with my mom. She was like, "You gonna do your speech?" I was like, "Nah." She was like, "What you gonna do?" I said, "I figured out when I get there." And I just went on stage and everything I said, I look at it like, man, if you say something with passion, people gonna believe it.
That's facts. I ain't gonna stop.
Facts. Even you, because Corbin said
I'm just saying a lot of stuff.
Talking shit. And I just say it so fast, I'll be believing that shit. I say it so much. I started to believe it. Now, like, you know,
the cord and it's a lot of sense. Every week, somebody would be like, "Bro, you said some wild on a podcast." I'd be like, "What'd I say?"
Oh, God.
I legit won't remember.
Niggas tell me that shit all the time. Like, Tabor's would tune in and be like, "Man, Cord wilding this week." I'm like, "Damn it, what point?" Like, it's an hour and 30 minute episode. You gotta be more specific, Tabor's. I don't know what you mean. Like, nigga, and they got some hot to say for every other topic. Cam, what about you?
So, I'm gonna keep it a book. Since I've been to college, everything's been a lot more competitive. Yes. When I was in high school, I will say that one of the things that I felt like I was really dominant, it was just academics in general. And if I go back to my senior year, I was Mr. Greenwood High School. I was the valedictorian of my senior class.
Talk to you.
And, hey. I got full scholarship to college. I really did everything that could have been done. I had the highest ACT score in my class. I did everything that could have been done by a high school senior that possibly could have been done. Not athletically, because, kind of subpar there, but,
What was your best sport? What was your best sport in high school?
My best sport in high school was definitely tennis. I played doubles in tennis.
That's dope.
And tennis is probably my favorite. Actually, to this day, tennis is probably my favorite.
I've always wanted to play tennis. I didn't have that type of – I didn't have the coordination for it. Well, at least I had the trainer for it.
It's tough. It's tough. Niggas think it's easy, too, and it's not. So, for any fans out there,
that shit not easy at all. I tried to fuck around and play with Matt one day. That shit tough.
And I said to somebody who usually rarely picks up sports, and I'm generally pretty good at them. Not like great, but like generally good at them. Tennis was not one of them. Like, I tried tennis for like a solid week, and I was like, I don't feel like I'm getting any better. This shit, I feel like I'm bad.
It takes months to get like even decent at tennis.
Yeah, I ain't had that kind of patience growing up. Jacquez, what about you? What's a way that you dominated in life before?
Honestly, bro, not to be cocky, but just about everything I decide to do, I'm usually pretty good at. Like, if I talk a lot of shit into existence, like with this job with GM, graduating college early, being an honor grad in high school, making it to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, my senior year of high school. All that shit. Like, everything I say, if I put my mind to doing something, I'm just usually, I dominate it. I try to be the best I can be at it, because I was really bad about being a perfectionist. Until like these later years, I just started to say, fuck it, I'm just gonna do what the fuck I want to do. But I was really bad about being a perfectionist all throughout my life. So, I guess I can put it like that. Just all aspects of life, I just excel at.
Jacquez, you be walking into
this. This is what we're
gonna hold y'all.
This is what we're
I said, you can walk into success. I ain't gonna hold you.
I was about to say, we are not finna say, not trying to be cocky before we make any other statement on this podcast. We are definitely trying to be cocky.
Hey, to say that I excel at every aspect of life is a wild statement. That ain't no stunt.
It is.
That's a wild, cocky statement.
It is. we got people trying to say we excel at nothing. So you gotta respond.
Oh,
with that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Fuck them niggas. Yeah, I'm being cocky. I forgot this.
Hey man,
let these niggas know, man.
I want to add some accomplishments on that. Hey man, I was the best neurotech of my whole group, and I ain't even tried to. You love to see it, man. Neurosurgeons hyping me up, and I was just in there talking my Game of Thrones. You love to see it.
That's the most disrespectful shit you could tell anybody. Like, I didn't try. I just ended up being the best. Like, that's some hurtful shit for us. Because, like, the next man could have been working their ass off, and they didn't want me half as good as you.
I used to be in class chilling. They was like, man, I was talking about everybody's be like, man, you going to go to clinics, boy. They going to be looking at you like you crazy. I went back to school. They was like, bro, they love Court. That man did a craniotomy first week. I was like, you see it out here?
Talk to these niggas, cool.
Who was saying somebody get their head cut open? Take a W.
What is your crowning moment? What is a moment in which you dominated?
See, the thing is, most of my accomplishments are work related. I don't want these niggas to know where I work. But here's the thing. My tweet was about leadership. And it wasn't about Mike. I said, hey, don't watch the Mike documentary and think you can do that. Because you're not Mike.
You can't.
I wasn't comparing myself to Mike. I was comparing myself to you niggas. Now, if you niggas want to talk some shit, we can talk some shit. Because I have been either the vice president or president of every college organization I was in, running the shit, running the budget, organizing the shit, been a manager at every place I've worked at. I've never not gotten a job I've interviewed for. And these niggas.
That's a flex there. Now, that's a fucking flex.
Man,
I can't even say that.
If they put me on the phone, I have never not gotten a job. And these niggas here trying to talk to me when I had job offers and they had job opportunities at McDonald's or wherever else you want to work. Listen.
Tell these niggas.
Told you.
Talk to them.
I wasn't comparing myself to MJ. But if y'all want to compare me to you niggas, man.
You are MJ.
Man. Ooh. Hey, man. I wouldn't say that. But fuck these niggas. I know. That's all I know.
Spice from a twin.
All I'm gonna say is I was told a long time ago to surround yourself around winners, and I can confidently say all of my friends are winners. All are successful in life. Everybody's doing something, whether it's college, whether it's not college. They all are moving forward. Now I fuck with
Cam. I don't want to know. Yeah,
we don't take too many.
I don't want to know what you're thinking, Cam. We're gonna end on that note.
Can I add this? And everybody talking about Michael Jordan is a winner, winner, winner. We also got to remember he is the worst owner in the entire NBA. Every draft pick that he has ever made has not worked. And every time he gets somebody on the team, the way that he treats them, I look at it this way. Michael Jordan won 6 rings because he's one of the most talented players in NBA history. Everything outside of the NBA has been an angle. Baseball.
His shoe brand.
Man, them shoes there, they sell Jaco Wiz. Come on, man. And also, we buy the shoes because he's the best player ever.
Exactly.
No, those are facts. Those are the facts. And I read this.
Reason why we cop those shoes for some leading.
I don't know. Because I really like LeBron, but I ain't looking at them shoes.
So. Exactly. Yeah, that's facts. LeBron just got the
best
shoes.
I'm going to say this, Core. I read somewhere that, like, players, when you're so good at a sport, that it's hard for you to like recognize talent because you're like, oh, compared to me, that nigga, you feel me? Whereas like niggas who are like Stephen A. Smith for fucking like somebody who wasn't good in sports, but they always were around talented people. They can spot like, oh yeah, he got that.
They see.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons
that's why Jordan if you look at a lot of dudes who are coaches and a lot of dudes who are GMs, they were just mediocre players. Phil Jackson, the greatest coach ever. But when he was in the league,
mid player,
he was okay.
You want to chill with the
Steve Kerr, good coach, mid player. I'm a change mid player, great GM, even though he be scared to make
trade. Jerry Krause, even though we turned him into this pack, wait, for him to do a lot of the moves he made.
We forget somebody. Jerry West was a phenomenal player, and he's a great in the front office.
Hey, he's an anomaly. That's why we want to bring him.
That's one guy out of like a lot. You just say, but like to your point, Cord, about Jordan being a terrible owner. I'm asking you this, Cord: what was Michael Jordan's Achilles heel? That's gambling. What was Michael Jordan's Achilles heel? What is the NBA
he
draft?
He took a blind a Bismack Biyombo. I ain't gonna never let him live it down. That man drafted Bismack Biyombo. Come on, man.
I realized he was a bad GM when we was doing a little league on 2K, and every time there was a bad player, a mid player I picked up, and they had a fat ass contract, I'm like, ah, damn, who the fuck this is? And I would be somebody.
Michael Jordan.
It never failed. It was every time it was somebody from the fucking
home. How much y'all want to bet? I won't get Nick between my mass contract. I bet you won't.
Moving on to the next topic, I want to talk to you guys about a fan suggested topic where she sent in a Twitter list. I think a page did like the best albums from 2000 to 2010, maybe 11, and it picked the best album from every respective year. And she wanted our opinion on that list. Now, granted, that is a lot of music to give an opinion on. So instead of doing that, I picked 3 different years, and I picked some of the more popular albums, some of the best albums from the respective years. And I want y'all to tell me which I think is the best album from that given year. So the first one is from 2003. We got the Black Album. Okay. We got Get Rich or Die Trying, the Love and Low Speaker Box,
ooh,
Trap Music. 2003. Ooh. What do y'all think was the best album here?
That's tough.
Ooh.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna
get an ear to the 50.
I'm gonna say this. Don't get me wrong. I love the Love Below. I did not know the Love Below dropped in 2003. Like I remember that entire year in my mind was just 50. I ain't gonna hold it. I ain't even a 50 stand like that. But that was his whole year.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, if we talk about the biggest,
yeah, fuck that
album here. That's definitely 50 Cent. Get Rich or Die Trying.
That's
magnum. Trap music is better than all those albums there. Trap music in my top 5 personal.
I was gonna pick trap music.
Yeah. Talk your shit, man.
Trap music was all I heard around that time, man. Like my sister is man. I'm not gonna lie, man. I like 50, but I've never been the biggest 50 guy. Like I don't know.
I ain't even.
I love 50.
Niggas might burn me at the stake, but 50 has never been my cup of tea. I honestly don't have a reason why. It's just, you know, I just there's never been a 50 guy, but man, I feel like I was conditioned to like T.I., man. My sister is in love, has been in love with T.I. as far as I can remember. And wow. we had a dog that it was her dog. She named that nigga Tip. Named that nigga T.I.P., bro. We had a mini Doberman. Named that dog T.I.P., man.
Jesus Christ.
Bro, so I think it might be my conditioning, you know what I'm saying, that made me pick trap music, but it was for me, it's definitely, man, that trap music was hitting, bro. That shit was right.
T.I. was rapping better. The production on the album's better. I disagree with that. Nope.
I mean, I think Jay-Z's rapping on the Black Album was better than trap music. But I'll say this.
Yeah, and also,
to your point, though, on the Twitter list, page that made this list, their number one album for this year was trap music. That's the one they chose. So
and Twitter is never wrong.
Twitter's never wrong.
I ain't never lied to
this
on Twitter.
I would have picked that Black Album. But okay, so let me
Black Album probably my number two.
Let me go to the next one. So the next is 2005. We have B by Common. We got The Documentary by The Game. We got Late Registration by Kanye West. We got The Mystery Show by Lil Brother. The Twitter list said that B was the best album in this respective year. What do you guys have?
Wow. That's
this one might be harder than the first one. I ain't going to lie to you.
Late Registration, but I'm going to put The Documentary as a strong second.
Ooh. I agree.
I'm gonna take Late Registration for sure here.
Late Registration is my second favorite Kanye album, man.
I'm gonna say go ahead, John, but I've grown to like love Late Registration the most out of all the Kanye albums in terms of like thinking about the level of production that we got from him as well as rapping. I think that might be that might have been some of his best rapping / producing and like in tandem on the same project. So I'm gonna go Late Registration. Core, why The Documentary over B? I'm surprised by that.
As y'all know, I'm not the biggest Game fan, but that's the Game best album. And I'm keeping rich. I liked it more than B at the time. Sorry. A little comment though, but you know, I mean it's documentary.
Okay. Next group of albums. We got Below the Heavens by Blue. We have The Cool by Lupe Fiasco. We have Graduation by Kanye West. And then we have American Gangster by Jay-Z.
Jeez.
Best album here.
Cool.
But it really trying to get a little blue.
Sorry, Kanye. The Cool.
The cool, man.
Different.
Coolest nigga, what? Different. This is hard because like somebody, this is like, I think a long time ago.
Damn.
Just make you realize how much music this nigga Jay-Z got.
No, I'm going with
the facts.
I was like, damn, Jay-Z really ain't one out of topic, but that nigga's in like at the top four in all of these hoes.
He here crazy. Every year though. And you know he was selling.
Especially since he retired in 2002.
Exactly. Jordan. Michael Jordan recording.
Goat. Big goat in the chat.
Yeah, came back and put out more.
Jordan, where are you putting Blue? Twitter tries to make us think Blue is the greatest rapper of all time.
No, they do. And I would tell you what, out of all these albums, I listen to Blues the most. Even though.
As
much as you talk about that dude, I thought that album dropped like in 2012.
I did too.
Jordan had me listen to that album. That shit was good. He had me listen to it one day and I was like, yes, get that album.
I thought the album came out more recently. This surprised me.
That is his magnum opus and he never really made anything as good after it. It's kind of very depressing. He dealt with a lot of personal issues following that derailed his career and prevented him from, you know, reaching his pinnacle. He actually did have a side project that was kind of with the same producer that had a lot of songs that didn't make the album. This is almost as good as this, as Below the Heavens. But out of all these albums, I listened to Lupe. I'm going to say Lupe's album is the best. I'm going to go there. Lupe's album is the best. But the one I listen to the most out of all of these is Below the Heavens. I listen to it more. And that's coming from someone who thinks Lupe's like top one writer in hip hop compared to only Jay-Z. But even with that being said, Below the Heavens wanted to see the most. Probably second best album up here. Shit, man, it's tough. I'm gonna say what. I think it might be between Blue and American Gangsta, man. I don't know. American Gangsta was great, man.
American Gangsta hit, man.
Gangsta, that might be his only real. I ain't gonna use his only real classic after coming back from retirement, but. It's out of like between like 444 and like what was the album with the he's talking about art and shit on there all the time, like
Magna Carta. Blueprint 3
American Gangster, I think, is the best album out of those four.
Like, oh yeah, for sure,
that's the best album out of four. Like that's it. But all right, moving on to the next topic, I want to talk to you guys about the NBA, which could be returning in June. The NBA was shut down about 2 months ago in around March. And since then, it's been like indefinite hiatus. We didn't know exactly when it was going to come back. We didn't really know when if we were even going to be able to finish the season. Well, after a small elite group of players that contained Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, the 1% in the league, Giannis, LeBron, they all got together and agreed that they want to finish the season. They told this league they want to finish the season. Now the league is working towards figuring out how to make them play. So, but basically, they pretty much said that in about 2-3 weeks, we're going to issue training camp. And players we're going to try this thing at a designated location. So expect June to be when the NBA tries to do something in order to get the season back on rails. Are you guys excited about this, or are you guys worried or indifferent about this?
We're excited. I can't help but to be excited just because we've been missing the action for sports for so long. But I mean, am I concerned? Yes. Am I not as concerned because I won't be directly affected? Yes. Yeah. But also, I am excited. That's my initial reaction.
See, I was listening to the CJ McCollum podcast, and he touched on this a little bit. He was like, it's not so much that the league afraid for their safety because they're going to be getting tested every day. But he said he feels like the league's reputation will take a hit because, you know, tests aren't widely available. And the fact that they're going to be able to test like
everybody,
players a day, like everybody a day, probably like twice a day. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be able to test them once a day, and they got all these tests, and there's people who can't even get the tests out. These like the NBA's. That's one of the reasons why it's been such a long hiatus. But I am excited for it. But I do think it's going to take the league's going to take a hit as far as like on their reputation, because it's already not after the whole China thing. They're already not looking their best.
And see, the thing is, it's not just the players are going to be tested. You got to test the coaching staffs. You're going to test the ball boys, trainers.
Yeah, you got to test everybody. Yeah.
You got to test people who are going to be at the facility, who's going to be cooking and preparing food for them, because the players aren't going to be allowed to just run around anywhere they want to go. It's a very problematic situation, because a lot of players, they're asking players to vote on if they want to do this. They want an informal vote, and they want to see where like 400 different players feel about this situation. And a lot of people feel like, oh, the players should definitely vote for it. I'm like, people, I don't think people understand that if they're going to finish a season or even finish playoffs, having to be stuck in one city, not even one city, but one gigantic facility, whether it be Las Vegas or whether it be Disney World, to be stuck somewhere for months, to be stuck in the same place for months where you can't see your family and friends. And you're just playing basketball for months, that sounds like hell. I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you love basketball. That sounds awful. But
hey, and another thing, I don't know how many people, in here or how many people watching or listening know how the actual test is done. I haven't been tested, but at work I've seen people get tested.
100%.
Man, hey Corey, bro, how that test feel, bro?
You know, I mean, I don't want to brag or nothing, my fault, Cam, but you know, really I got weird. The easy test.
Yeah, I thought
Deep nose of Q-tip.
Bro, I went in and I was like, hey, you gotta get tested today.
Oh, oh my God.
Bro, I was on
that. I was so scared.
I was like, bro. Hey, y'all bugging. I was like, man, I ain't finna take them tests. They going all the way back. They said, nah, you got two choices. I'm like, well, give me the easy one then. Yeah, I went in. He just went to the little top, just rolled around by 15 seconds. That was it.
That's what our quiz said, man. Yeah, I don't mean to brag, yeah,
check
but
my results,
so nostrils, boy.
Yeah, that cute tip one, bro.
I couldn't. I mean,
I got no
gag reflex in my nose.
That, bro. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to tell you what.
Y'all got me out here looking crazy for the 100 episode.
Man, that's you, Cord. That's all you. That's all you, man.
We was sus.
Ain't nobody judging you.
We was sus.
But going to like Cam's point about like how players will be tested. Yeah, players will be tested every day, and you'll find out when you have it. But one thing about it being find out you have it is gonna be hell. Cause thing is like there are people who end up having complications. The thing is the virus is not 100% understood. So some people randomly have liver failure, even though and then some people they have kidney failure, and then some people randomly have permanent lung damage. Von Miller says that he's still struggling. He has he's like 14 days out from being tested negative, and he said he's still having complications in terms of like breathing and things of that nature. He said hopefully over time he starts feeling better. But he says right now training is hard. He's having a hard time. Being able to breathe and things of that nature. So to be an NBA player and possibly have a disease that damages your lungs that can't be repaired, and it's not reversible, that's a big deal because they severely handicap you as a player. So it's worrisome because I feel like by doing it, somebody's going to get it, and then you just have. I guess we're all just have to hope and pray that person doesn't make a turn for the worse. Because if somebody gets very ill, or they get irreversibly ill.
Bad look.
That's a wrap.
Like you talking about bad publicity for the league. That's god awful. The league won't recover from that bad rep that they'll get. But then again,
the only way you can repair the look is by playing basketball.
But then
as long as they sit back and do nothing, they'll never repair their image.
The players, the league will have a little less blame on them for the simple fact that it's the players banding together and begging to come back.
Right.
So if it was like,
that definitely helped.
Yeah, because it was the league just saying, hey, y'all niggas got to be back here June 15th. And like the head brass in the league, like LeBron said, man, I don't know, I don't feel safe. But it's the fact that guys like that are coming out and saying, nah, league, y'all better figure this out. We want to play. It'll save them of some blame, but ultimately,
at the end of the day, they hit honchos, you know what I'm saying? Like, they, LeBron and them, they could be like, they could say this, that, and the third, and they could still be like, nah, y'all stay y'all asses at home, So at the end of the day, they don't want to stamp the approval or disapproval. So, so like you said, like the 1% and how, if they do that league-wide vote, and even if it comes back, even if it's like a super high majority, at the end of the day, they don't want to, who gotta send that through. So, like you said, if shit go left, it's gonna be on the top guys. It ain't gonna be on the players.
Not to mention like the fact that some players will be quarantined and set aside if they do get tested. So then it kind of like the whole point of this playoffs is to make sure we get a champion. But how valuable is the champion if people aren't gonna take the champion seriously if players have to sit out due to quarantine? So maybe like multiple players, like maybe what happens if a starting five got to all sit out because they all got it? So then,
what if a star player?
I'm saying, like,
what if it's just one?
Yeah, but even if it's a, like, the thing is, like, players get hurt in the playoffs. That's, you can kind of say, like, it's kind of an injury. But for an entire starting five to be out for a team, which is very possible because we've seen, like, multiple players on the same team get it. Like, there's no, that's a huge asterisk for that playoff series and whoever wins it. Like, you can't say that,
like a starting five ain't all going to tear ACLs at the same time.
No. And that's also what I'm saying.
Let's keep it the stats. If LeBron get coronavirus, this whole season canceled. It don't matter who wins. LeBron stands is gonna bring it up. Is he what I got it? Like if he get coronavirus, it's a wrap for everybody. It rain don't matter no matter who got it.
I'm gonna be real.
If he get hurt, if he get it, it's a wrap. Clippers can win. It's still not gonna mean nothing. Yeah, Rockets can win. The Portland Trailblazers can win. It ain't gonna mean nothing.
I'm gonna be real with you, fam.
The Charlotte Hornets could win it, it wouldn't mean nothing.
I'm gonna be real with you, fam. If LeBron James gets coronavirus, I do not think it will be reported.
You know what?
I don't think it'll be reported.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He gonna play with it. He gonna play with it.
Nah, he gonna play through it.
Gonna be sneezing on the ops.
Nigga, whole team. I'm gonna tell you what, the whole team is gonna be sick because LeBron not gonna report it. So then he gonna be clapping, you know, cheering and sneezing on niggas, and everybody on the team gonna have it. Then they can't report it because then they can't tell that they got it from LeBron. Like the whole man.
And then you know,
what's coming out? Anybody else would do the same thing, Skew.
What's crazy is
you want to play it?
Spreading deadly disease.
My grandmama always told me, even if you got the coronavirus, you still got to play.
And then what's something I think about all the time too is, you know, there was a point in time when two undisclosed Lakers players had coronavirus. We don't know. We still don't to this day. We just know that they don't have it anymore.
They just told us it wasn't JaVale McGee. Like that's all they told us.
We know who it is.
Yeah.
It was definitely Bron.
The nigga do be everywhere.
I'm talking about anybody else got exposed. We didn't hear nothing.
About the Lakers players.
Do you think someone
was next? Then it's the fact that also we gotta keep this in mind. It's wild that they had two players with it, but they the first thing to get their facility back open.
Dang, I forgot my nigga KD. Maybe that's why he lost in the first round of their 2K tournament.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. KD too.
That's why Cam. That's why Cam.
No, that nigga just crashed at 2K.
Ooh.
Hey man, it's a good thing. It's a good thing he that nigga on the real board. That nigga.
Yeah.
Dumpster juice.
Who that nigga lose to, bro? That nigga lost to what? Derrick Jones?
Man. Yeah, Derrick Jones.
I mean, it makes sense, man. All that nigga can dunk, bro. That nigga don't be in the lab shooting. He just be dunking, then he go home and play 2K. Alright. Moving on to the next topic. I think we might make this be the last topic, and then we'll call it a quiz for the day. We've been here for a while. I want to talk to you guys about your greatest hip-hop pet peeves. What are some things that when you hear artists say or do in their music or outside of music that absolutely drives you crazy? For instance, like one, I absolutely hate heavy auto tune. Like I just hate when artists like over rely on it and they just use it like nonstop on every other song. And they really, when they can't sing and they just wailing, they ain't even trying to sing, they're just wailing into the mic hoping that the auto tune salvages their own voice. I can't stand it. That's probably my
hey man, I'm keeping it mean. Y'all know that meme with a doctor nigga taking the headphones off? That's me. Anytime I hear any new female rapper say anything about her pussy, I got it. I gotta take it off.
Nah.
Hey man.
So you say that way? Dark-skinned women?
Oh my God! Hey, black women.
Dark-skinned
women. I see.
Women rapping about sexual agency. My rap queen is Rap City, and I've yet to hear the word pussy come out of
Rap City. I wonder why.
Oh.
Respectability politics.
Delon.
We see the real you. We see the real you. That's all it is.
You don't want to hear about real women stories.
Delon, tell me.
I love my black queen.
That's facts.
Talk to him, Cam.
Hold on, Cam. Blink three times if you're in trouble. We know somebody else in that room.
Hey, somebody in this room.
Hey, DeLon, what's your pet peeve?
When niggas say they about to switch the flow up, but don't switch the flow up.
Oh my God.
The baby.
Shout out to the baby. This nigga just took the most direct, indirect shot.
And when niggas be speed rapping and don't be saying shit.
Woo!
Man.
Hey, that's another one. Don't be talking about a damn thing.
Like I can do that. I can do songs where niggas don't talk about nothing. But when niggas just like put a bunch of really choppy words into the sentence, like had a banana. They be like, not even just not saying nothing, literally not making sense. Our conversation we having a couple days ago, Denzel Curry saying all that. Denzel Curry always not saying shit. Nigga don't be talking coherent sentences.
Hey, it's one goat rapper that's always rapping fast, not talking shit, but are we gonna speak on? I don't know if we're gonna speak on that today.
Man.
There's not talking about shit,
picking words out of a hat and putting them next to each other. And that's a
difference. The YT man? Are we talking about it today?
I'm gonna say this. Eminem's sentences actually make sense. They just don't. He don't be talking about shit. This is literally just the same words.
Come on, Jacquez. Robin Thick with a throbbing dick. Come on, Jordan. What sense does that make?
No comment.
What was he talking about? That's somebody.
No comment.
Not mine.
Top five. I'm simping. That might be what he's talking about.
That went over my head. If it means something, it went over my head, and I'm glad.
Hey man, we're not gonna disrespect a Detroit legend while I'm around.
My Detroit Mount Rushmore is me. It's John.
Hey,
John.
DJ X6, Soda Baby, Blake Griffin, T Grizzly.
Hell no.
Andre Drummond?
Isaiah Thomas. Joe Dumars.
Hey, Jordan.
Andre
Drummond.
Detroit legend.
All right. Cole, what is your hip-hop pet peeve?
Y'all know my biggest hip-hop pet peeve is a rapper who ain't got nothing to talk about, so they go on a song and start complaining about other rappers. I hate that with a burning passion, and I would never not hate
that.
That's true.
I ain't gonna stunt, though.
I'm talking about you. When you come through, if your promo run is you hopping on a song talking about 50 other rappers, that means you ain't got nothing to talk about, and I don't want to hear leave it in the studio, leave it at the crib. Hobson, Jordan Lucas, all them rappers' entire careers complaining about other people who most successful than them. And I rock with Jordan Lucas, but when he come through on it, I'm about to talk about somebody else. I don't want to hear, man. Do your own thing. Turn off the Will Smith. Do that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. The thing is, Core tell me this, and I'm like, man, Core, you hate him. But then I would literally every album that followed a single where they were
talking. It was facts.
The artists were talking a lot of shit about other people. The artists actually didn't have shit to say on their actual album. So, Core got...
Hey, man, J. Cole hopped on a Joy Badass beat and complained about another grown man who don't care about him. Oh, man, Kanye, he don't be turning up for black people like he used to. You turn up for black people then. Like, why are you mad at somebody for choosing another way to live their life? How about you do what they used to do? Grown man.
All right,
ain't nothing more insulting than saying grown man. You are a grown ass man.
You are 30 years old.
30 years old. Okay. Everybody know when a black man turned 40, he turned into a Republican if he got 6 figures. This is facts. It always happens. Why you mad? It's gonna be J. Cole.
It'll be me.
So you gotta get that.
He ready.
I was ready. Man, I was mad when it wasn't cool.
She gonna be like the the gold jacket ceremony at the NFL. Do walk on stage, red cap.
All right, you know, I just can't. Jordan, I just can't get down with this new music, man. I don't know what they keep talking about.
Oh, we gonna redo these contracts.
All right, another
pet peeve is definitely going up.
I think another pet peeve I really can't stand. Well, two. One is I can't stand when rappers cannot sing for majority of an album. I don't mind when rappers try to step out their lane and sing a hook here, sing a hook there. But when you got 10 tracks on your album, you sing on 8 of them. I don't want to hear that.
Wow.
And also rappers, solo albums where every track has 2 to 3 features. I can't stand that. That's a big pet peeve.
Talking about Quavo.
That's a compilation album.
Wait, you actually listened to that?
Nah, I saw the track list. I did not listen to that shit. Cause it had
You could have gave this ring to another Nas.
I ain't giving it to no Nas.
Niggas is really wilding on the 100th episode.
I'm trying to out finesse the gatekeeper out here.
You hate to see it.
That man
ignoring good talent out here in these streets.
Oh shit! Man. All right, man. That's all I have, guys. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Hey man, if y'all really feel like Michael Jordan a winner, bro, go on become some Hornets fans. Your ring coming soon.
All I gotta say is Jason Tatum should have been a Phoenix Sun.
That's facts.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you what.
I forgot.
Where's Small Violin?
Hey man. Sex workers sold their asses week, but for free, and I was highly disappointed. Y'all should be ashamed. Y'all said that little Boosie situation. Y'all just as bad as Boosie, and I am disappointed in y'all. I couldn't hold in. I gotta say it.
Hey, Jordan, cut it off
your head.
I don't want it with the bars Twitter, and I don't want it with sex workers Twitter.
Oh, no.
Jewish boy said. Double sex workers showing their ass for free. That's a double entendre. Double entendre. That's gonna be out here, man.
All right.
Last statement here. Last time I'm ever gonna say this. Fuck the Migos.
Fuck
the Migos for getting our
fuck you see.
I would not be streaming. Was it Skinny Pocket, Skinny Wallet, whatever this all called? You would not get the stream from me.
Another rapper wasting his energy dissing Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Facts.
We finna lose more fans on this episode with the game.
Fuck them niggas.
On brand.
Fuck them niggas. Stay one down.
Making niggas mad.
We ain't like MJ.
Brand. Nah, we don't. We don't care about making niggas. We don't care about making niggas.
What MJ say? Republicans wear J's too?
Yes, sir.
Republicans wear J's too. That's what MJ said.
And we got more chips in MJ.
Listen to the podcast too. But, all right. Thank y'all for tuning to the 100th episode. Jacquez, will you close this episode out by singing the Negro Spiritual Happy Birthday to Cam?
That's fast.
They say he's the man.
Wait, we got auto-tune on it.
Throw some reverb.
Throw some reverb on it.
All right, y'all. All right, 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you.
You know what time it is. Happy birthday.
Oh, man.